advertise.
Nope, there it says this meeting's being live streamed.
There we go. All right. It is live. Hey, guys. This is Mike Winger here with Judd Saul, giving you guys an extremely important, urgent, time-sensitive update on Nigeria and the persecution of Christians that has been going on there. This is going to be detailed. There's stuff that some of you guys know. There's stuff that you guys definitely don't know. Judd is the guy who's on the ground. He's been say hey, Judd, so they can see you.
Hey, everybody. How you doing?
There
Good
he
to see
is.
You all.
Yeah, so he's the guy on the ground. They've been working for years with the persecuted church. There's so many rumors going around. The Nigerian government is making claims. There's all of a sudden all these accounts online that are saying there's no persecution in Nigeria. There's a lot of confusion. We anticipated this. That's why we did the video, previous video with you the way that we did. And I think it was pretty successful. But first update, if you don't mind jumping right into this one, Judd, is can you tell us about these 300 students, children, that were just kidnapped?
Yes. So just in the last 7 days, Mike, 300 kids were abducted from a school. 50 Christians were abducted from a Catholic school on top of this. The priest was shot. There was three people killed in that. There was an entire church of people that was abducted of 38, five people killed in that attack. Several other kidnappings have occurred. So we estimate that there's over 500 kidnappings of Christians that have occurred in the last 7 days. And one of the kidnappings that occurred, magically 38 people were rescued or released. But the problem is yes, we're happy they've been released, but no terrorists or kidnappers were brought to justice. And our investigations have determined that the Nigerian government paid the ransom to get these people back, just to make things better for their PR. This is a very rare occurrence where the Nigerian government's paying ransom to the kidnappers to get people back, but this only incentivizes more kidnappings. And so what we're seeing is a major increase of the kidnapping of Christians happening right now.
And this is in the middle of the night, a group, I read your guys' article on this, a group of like 60 guys on motorcycles, even mentioned how they go in motorcycle gangs, they get a bunch of weapons. They come upon a Catholic school, they go in there and they grab the kids, 300 of them, they have a few staff members as well, and they kidnap them in the middle of the night. Let me ask you if you can explain this, what is the treatment of those who were kidnapped? What happens to them? You know, 12-year-old girl is kidnapped by this kind of group. What does she experience next?
Immediately what happens is once they get them into a location that's remote, hard to get to. And here's the other question is how do people mass kidnap three people at once without any police or military intervention? You know, there's witnesses, there's all kinds of stuff going on. So this happens, sadly to say, frequently, but there's no response. There's no police chasing after them. There's no intervention. But what happens to these kids and the people that are kidnapped are, first, they get them all in one big group and they figure out if the kids know cell phone numbers or certain information about their family that they can start begging for ransom. And what they'll do is they'll get them on the phone and they'll start whipping the children and they'll start whipping the people, crying as loud as, get them to cry and scream as loud as they can on the phone to pay the ransom. And these kids are tortured and they are not fed. They are not fed well at all. Now imagine already impoverished kidnappers. You think they're going to feed 300 people? Many of these kids are going to starve. If they don't pay up the ransom soon, many of these kids are going to starve. And this is what happens to kidnapped victims. And this sadly is a common occurrence in Nigeria.
And this is, I read your article on this on truthnigeria.com, where they have a bunch of articles that they're trying to do. They do terror alerts to try to warn villages and places that are currently like bad guys are on their way there. So they try to do like last minute alerts and stuff. But I read on the article that this was the largest kidnapping of children. And I was wondering, like, since when? And it says since the last one in like March of last year, where over 200 kids were kidnapped.
Yeah.
This is the stuff that, oh, there's no persecution of Christians. I could not imagine in the U.S. 300 kids at a Christian complex being stolen in the middle of the night, beaten while their parents are called to get ransom money, starved, killed, who knows what else. And then the last one, when it was 200, It was weeks before the government finally went in and got him out.
Correct.
Like it would be like hours in the US. This would be hours. It would be number one priority, the thing everybody in the nation is worried about, and everyone goes against it as quick as they can.
The weight of the entire federal government would be on this.
Yes.
The weight of the entire federal government would be on this, and every citizen in America would be on this. They'd be vigilant. They'd be investigating. We'd have internets loose trying to get anything they could find to try to bring these attackers, you know, bring these kidnappers to justice and free the children. What happens in Nigeria? Oh, another kidnapping. No government response. This is what Christians are dealing with. And then the Nigerian government today, Mike, had the gall to come out and say, we're cooperating with the U.S. and there's no Christian persecution going on. There's no genocide. It's just Muslims and Christians getting killed. Yes, there's a terror problem, but it's not against Christians. What you don't see is an entire mosque full of people getting kidnapped. You don't see Muslim schools being raided and the Muslim children being kidnapped. This only happens to Christians in Nigeria.
Right. It's clear to us what's going on here. And the thing is that social media has made it possible to draw awareness to this in a way that never would have been possible, or at least would have been extremely difficult in the past. So now you've got context on the ground. Let's talk about Pastor Ezekiel real quick, because here's a pastor who is really brave. He's putting himself out there. He put a video out that went all over the place where he was standing in an open grave with dead bodies around him, Christians who've been murdered in persecution. And he was standing in the open grave, crying out for the government to help, crying out for America to help, crying out for anybody to help. And he was trying to draw awareness to this. Now, after this, he continues making videos. You know, he's getting more press. People are finding out more about him. And it's really compelling to see like an actual pastor right there, standing there amidst the slaughter, saying, this is real, help us. Because the Nigerian government wants to say it's not real. It's just internal disputes about land. It's about climate change and other stuff that's not really honest about what's happening here. Yeah, there's shepherds and there's farmers, but don't pretend that the issue is that some shepherd and some farm. That's not the issue.
Right, right.
And so Ezekiel, he has just had the Nigerian government pull his social media stuff down and remove his Facebook videos, citing him as a national threat.
Yes.
Tell us about this.
So I just spoke with Pastor Ezekiel the other day. Facebook, in cooperation with the Nigerian government, took down his entire Facebook page. In fact, they are going after videos of him that are in it, and they're starting to ban those videos. That famous one of him in the standing in the amongst all the dead bodies, that is being taken down from Facebook right now. And he tried coming back with an Instagram yesterday, and they shut down his Instagram. They deleted the account. And it wasn't even set up by him. It was actually set up by an American, and Facebook shut down that account of Pastor Ezekiel.
So Facebook shut down an American account.
Yes.
Meta, right? The company that owns Facebook and Instagram. They shut down an American account because it had stuff that the Nigerian government didn't like.
Correct. Because it was promoting Pastor Ezekiel, and they shut that down this morning.
Getting better on this, some of this stuff.
I thought Zuckerberg turned over a new leaf. I guess not. But so Zuckerberg and Facebook are complicit in silencing Christians, and they are complicit in the persecution of Christians in Nigeria by doing this. And Nigeria's accusation against Pastor Ezekiel is that it's a threat to national security. Pastor Ezekiel's a threat to national security. Forget about the hundreds of thousands of terrorists running around with AK-47s killing people. Pastor Ezekiel crying out, asking for help, is a threat to security, according to the Nigerian government.
Right. Not the kidnapping of 300 children.
No,
that's not the emergency. What marshal all of our resources. Let's network with social media. And how do we find these guys and deal with it within the next 2 hours? Let's get our military over there. Let's kill the men who kidnapped these kids. Let's get these kids back to their parents. Let's send a loud message that anybody terrorist who does this will die. They will die. Like that has to be everybody. They have to know this. Right. But no, what we really need to do is we have to get this pastor's Facebook removed so he can't talk about it. So is there a freedom of speech in Nigeria? Is that a thing?
Nigeria says there's freedom of speech, but it doesn't exist. The Islamic regime that has taken control of Nigeria has gotten rid of freedom of speech. And the they control the speech. Islam controls the speech in Nigeria. If you speak bad against Islamic terrorists, if you speak bad against Islam, you're the one that's going to get in trouble.
So what are the mechanisms they use to control this freedom of speech? Because obviously, one, this is extreme. The government itself is working to remove this pastor's ability to speak publicly. He is calling for like, hey, Trump, help us. Somebody help us, help us, help us. If that's I don't see how that's a threat to national security to ask for help for when you're literally being murdered and slaughtered. That makes literal sense. You know, most countries in the world understand the idea of trying to care for those who are refugees from different countries and who are in deep need. This is about covering up and doing PR. That's what this is. This is, he's bad for our government PR. We want to hide what's really happening. So we need to shut him up.
Well, that's exactly what's happening. And, you know, the U.S. government just met with Nigeria's national security advisor, who's also a radical Islamic Fulani, that has completely laying cover for all the terrorists in his tribe and in his country. This is the same guy that I guarantee this is the guy that pulled the trigger on getting Ezekiel Dacomo removed from Facebook. We have a lot of trouble happening, and especially if the U.S. government thinks they can negotiate with a guy like Rabadu, their national security advisor, who also, by the way, is the same guy that orders the Nigerian military and police to stand down during terror attacks. And I guarantee you, the U.S. government just met with the same guy that told people to stand down during these kidnappings. And it's the same guy that is ordering the military not to go after the kidnappers. That's who the U.S. has been talking to and think they can negotiate with.
Right. And I think a lot of U.S. leaders are just not equipped to deal with actual terrorists and this kind of thing, because they're just, I don't know. It just seems like there's some inability in many cases to see things for what they really are. And there's all this other stuff going on. There's China's interested in Nigeria. Nigeria is resource rich. And that's been the line is, oh, the U.S. is only getting involved because they're trying to steal our resources, that sort of thing. And that's convenient to say that. I don't believe that. And yet, you know, you also wonder, would some bad actor use the crisis in Nigeria as a way of trying to get leverage? But the thing is, that's already happening to Nigeria, like before any of this goes on.
Well, that's the thing. China and Russia are using this crisis situation for their own gain. Who's right. mining the lands of once Christian villages and Christian territory? China, and Russia's got their hands in it. So their teams, all this stuff sprouting up. There's no Christian genocide in Nigeria. There's no Christian genocide in Nigeria. Some of this stuff's coming from China. Some of this stuff is coming from Russia. They are already exploiting the Nigerians, and they are massacring people. And well, they're profiting off the massacre of people because they get the land. They can negotiate with terrorists. They don't care. They don't care if it's Christian land they're mining on or terrorist land they're mining on. But they are helping fund this genocide. China and Russia got their hands in this.
So here's China Nigerian people already has. Yeah. Sorry, China's already got interests in the country. Russia's already got interest in the country. They're using the terrorism in order to leverage enriching themselves off Nigerian resources. The government is silent about this. They don't cry out to the world. They don't go, hey, help. The U.S. says, if you don't deal with this genocide of Christians, we're going to go and deal with them, which I think most realistically means we'll do like a targeted strike and then get out of there. And it'll be like hours long and not a long-term thing. I'd imagine that's what's going on there. But that comes out, and the message from the Nigerian government is, they're trying to steal our resources, which just reveals, like, if you cared about the abuse of your people's resources, you would have been crying for a long time now about these Muslim insurgents destroying villages and Russia and China taking advantage of it. That's based upon what you're telling me. Does that sound about right?
Oh, no, that's exactly what's going on. And they are doing everything they can to win the PR game. Nigerian government spending millions of dollars a year lobbying our congressmen, paying off social media people to say there's no Christian genocide. And fortunately enough, I think our side is winning in the narrative war, finally. Because how can you say there's no Christian genocide when you have 500 people kidnapped in 1 week?
Yeah. Yeah. You tell me that's a land dispute. That's why 500 people got kidnapped.
Oh,
they're
no,
being
no,
beaten,
no.
put on the phone with their loved ones. That's about land. How come they're all Christians?
Oh, no, it's climate change. Remember, that's what the UN says. All this is happening because of climate change.
Yeah, let's talk about this. I've been watching your stuff and trying to keep somewhat up to date on this stuff. So I saw in your interview with Ali Beth Stuckey, which I thought was really good, you were talking about how in Biden's administration, they said that this was not any sort of religious persecution or anything like that, and they said it was climate change. That's what explained this, because less resources. Now, your account is very opposite of that. Your account is actually after 9/11, it invigorated Islamic terrorism, and then that's when it really started ramping up and continues. And the conflicts are between these sort of Muslim invaders, effectively, and the people who actually have land currently that are Christians.
Correct. Well, I mean, look, we have 15 years of Islamic history to look at and say, this is how Islam conquers territory. They populate, they move in, they kill. Populate, move in, kill. Establish Sharia law, get political dominance, and kill. Every country they've touched since 640 AD is happening in Nigeria right now. The way they did it then is happening in Nigeria right now. This is not rocket science, people. But
Right.
the
What are their
UN and the Biden administration, the Democrats, and even some rhinos in our own government do not want to acknowledge what's happening. And they'll say, well, it's climate change. It's just climate change. And what most people fail to realize is that you had Obama administration and the Biden administration sending Democrats to Nigeria to make sure Muslims would get elected and not Christians.
That blows my mind.
So
Why
Democrats have their hands dirty in this in
do you
making
think they did
sure.
that? Why do you think they did that?
Because this goes with Obama's Arab Spring strategy. Spread Islam, destabilize the Middle East, spread radical Islam all over the world and upend everything. Change the colonial structures by
So,
advancing radical Islam.
and this is where we see, and I see it too, and I don't fully understand it, but I see a connection between sort of like real extreme leftists and is Islamic agendas, which is weird because I know that those people, those Muslims, the Arab Spring and all this, they would slaughter those leftists. It would murder every one of them,
Right.
and yet I see this connection between them. And you see basically American leftists opening the door to Islam. Now there's some on the right who are more totalitarian minded, and they're also opening the door to Islam right now as well,
Oh, yeah.
as if it's a non-threat.
Yeah. Well, this alliance is nothing new. The Soviets, the Chinese communists have always had their hands on advancing radical Islam to destabilize Western-friendly leaders. This is nothing new. If you look at the fall of Iran and what happened. How did Iran go from a westernized style country to being a completely Islamic-controlled theocracy? What happened was is all these young revolutionaries, that was a popular thing in the 70s, revolution, revolution, communist socialist revolution, and they joined together with the radical Islamists in Iran to overthrow the Shah. And when the Shah or when the Ayatollah finally took over and they got full power, they killed all the revolutionaries that helped them get into power. You have to go look at the history of Iran. And what you see is the far left all working with radical Islam. Their main goal is to destabilize Western culture, Western civilization. They'll fight it out at the end of the day. But, the Russians really helped foment that revolution in Iran. And they didn't care because the Ayatollah said, okay, Russians are our allies. We'll do business. We'll do oil, whatever else. And they were no longer a Western-friendly country. And this is the battle we're seeing in Nigeria right now.
Okay, let's talk about, if we can, there was this church live stream, this video I saw, and like every video, you're like, is
Oh,
that
man.
real? Is that AI? And so I was like kind of sitting on it for a little bit and confirmed that it was true. You guys have a report on it on your truthnigeria.com website.
Yeah.
And this was a church that was live streaming their service. I mean, maybe you can walk us through the story of what happened.
Sure. So what happened was is they're having a church gathering, they're live streaming it, they're doing worship, getting into it, and all of a sudden you hear gunshots coming from the outside and get closer and closer and closer. And they killed five people, including the assistant pastor. And 38 people were kidnapped from that church in one setting. That was the first kidnapping of the week. was that one. And then following that, they kidnapped 50 Catholic girls from a school, and then 300 kids later from another school. But they came in guns a-blazing. They surrounded the place. People were trying to escape. I believe three people were shot to death, and two people were killed with machetes, and the rest were kidnapped. The entire church congregation.
And this is the thing is that they were live streaming their church service when this happened.
Yeah.
And so that's why there's video footage of it. Otherwise, it would be like a thing where someone goes, well, this happened. And then there's a bunch of like Muslim accounts on Twitter, on X, that are going to go, that's a lie. That never happened. Like it's a rare moment because it happened when they just happened to be streaming. I wonder how many churches did this happen to in the past month that just weren't streaming a service?
Right. This one just happened to be streaming a service, which is pretty rare in Nigeria, by the way, because the data and all that stuff is hard to come by. And a lot of them can't even afford the technology to stream from a cell phone. But this church was doing it and it was caught on video. But this is a common occurrence. This stuff happens every single week where a church is attacked. This just happened to be unique because it was caught on video and 38 people were kidnapped. A lot of times what happens is they just open fire on a church, kill, you know, 5-10 people, escape, luckily with their lives. But a church isn't attacked every week like this. Every week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's no Christian persecution in Nigeria. No, that can't be happening. It's climate change that's doing this.
Right. This total deception. Obviously, there can be complexities, you know, and let's say tensions between Muslims and Christians are triggered because of a dispute over resources. But then the actual slaughter of the Christians is coming because of the Muslim ideology that they have.
Right.
You know? So yeah, sure. Tensions can be sparked because of various things, but the overriding thing that is driving the slaughter of Christians is Islamic beliefs and practices,
yes,
which follows in the footsteps of Muhammad. I'd like to say, you know, Islam is a peaceful religion, but it'd have to be true for me to say it. It's historically
it's not.
I had an argument with AI about this earlier this week, and I was like, just kind of like sharpening my skills a little bit. I was like, what are some of the best arguments for the Quran? You know, and it presented some stuff to me, and I was like, oh, but doesn't the Quran say this or that? And then they said, oh yes, but Muhammad was peaceful. Muhammad was peaceful, and he did this and that. And I said, isn't it true that he was actually militant and he slaughtered a bunch of Jews in Medina and he went and this and that? I gave some examples and it goes, oh yes, yes, he was very militant. He slaughtered lots of people. And so what you can see though is the AI is pulling from different sources online. Those who kind of are like, there's no persecution in Nigeria, those kinds of sources. And then you push a little more and it brings in some more of just historical facts about Islam. It has been a violent religion for a long, long time. And not every Muslim is violent, but not every Christian is peaceful. But Christianity is a peaceful religion. Islam is a violent one, yes, by nature.
Well,
so, but this being... Oh, go ahead.
Christianity, at the very core of Christianity, is we love life. The Bible says, be fruitful and multiply. We cherish life. And we live our life to the way God wants us to live our life. And we live to lead others to Christ and see others have an eternity in heaven. And nowhere in our teaching does it say it's okay to go kill people and we get rewarded for it. That's not inherent in our religion. Our religion says we love our enemies. We share the gospel at every opportunity. We care about our neighbor. Love thy neighbor as thyself. That is not in the Quran.
Mm.
And so Islam is antithetical to Christianity. It's also antithetical to Western civilization.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way,
it truly is.
You're talking about AI and the news and how it gets fed from the news. Well, here's the thing that just bothers me is, you know, we've been trying as truthnigeria.com. We've been working a long time to be accredited as a trusted news source. Okay. To be a trusted news source. And for the life of me, I've been trying for years to figure out who decides who's a trusted news source. Who is this cabal, or who is this overlord of what trusted news is? Because according to even X and other platforms, Al Jazeera is trusted news.
Yeah.
The New York Times is trusted news. MSNBC is a trusted news source.
Yeah, trusted by who?
Trusted by whom, and who decided that they were credible? But this, it's because of the filter of the news about what's going on in Nigeria. When it gets to the mainstream, it's all filtered through Al Jazeera. And that is the trusted news source about what's going on in Nigeria, is Al Jazeera.
Right.
Which is nothing more than a Muslim propaganda arm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But somehow that is the AP, that is what Reuters trusts, that is the standard for news coming out of Nigeria, and it comes from Al Jazeera.
And I think, you know, we've seen reporters, maybe because they try to report on so many stories so fast that they often aren't doing their diligence with their reporting. Like you said, they just get one source and they go, oh, we'll just quote Al Jazeera. But
right, they put out.
You guys, you so speaking of this issue of news and conflicts of information wars, that kind of thing, Tucker Carlson had a guest on his program recently who was basically, according to you, this guy's basically a propagandist for hire. You know, he makes a huge ton of money in order to go out there and propagandize. And he was saying, you know, there is no persecution. It's, you know, people misunderstand, and just kind of trying to put water on the fire, so to speak, to calm everybody down. So maybe you could point out, like, who's this guy? What was the stuff he was claiming, and what would be the truth of it?
His name's Robert Amsterdam. He's a lawyer mercenary for hire, doesn't get out of bed for anything less than 500 grand. And if you give him the money, he'll go defend your cause. And this guy says there's no Christian persecution in Nigeria, and I find it absolutely hilarious. And Tucker Carlson's like, well, I believe everything you say. He, 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 he. You know, doing his Tucker Carlson thing. And this guy defended an architect of killing of Christians in Kaduna. His name's El Rufai. El Rufai was the guy that let out all these Boko Haram and all these terrorists out of prison because they were going to be rehabilitated. And he got the government to give the terrorists money to behave themselves and to do good things and to stop killing people. We're going to give them millions of dollars to be nice and not kill anybody anymore. This was Rufai's great accomplishment. And of course, all those terrorists a few months later go back to killing Christians and taking over more territory. But hey, but this is the guy that Robert Amsterdam defended. He defended a Nigerian government official that was an architect of killing Christians in Nigeria.
He basically funded terrorists with government money, is what it sounds like you're saying.
He funded terrorism with government money and was an apologist for the terrorists. And this was Robert Amsterdam's client.
Yeah. Right.
So for this moron to come on Tucker Carlson's show and say, well, no, there's no Christian genocide in Nigeria. I know Nigerians. I know so-and-so. I know such-and-such family. It is all baloney, and I guarantee this guy's on the payroll of the bad guys.
Yeah.
Because no one worth their salt could come up and defend a guy like El Rufai for the thousands of Christians that were killed under his watch.
So the effect that this has, though, when you have like yourself coming out here sharing these things, and then you have somebody like that guy going on Tucker Carlson, it causes a lot of people to just go, oh, this sounds complicated. I'm not really sure what's going on over there. And then it kind of, you know, effectively puts them on the fence. You know, they're like, I'm going to get on the fence. I don't really know for sure what's going on, which is, of course, that's the plan. It's like, hey, they don't want the governments to get involved at all. All they have to do is, if status quo happens, Nigeria will experience a full Muslim takeover, right? That's where it's headed. That's what will happen. And all it takes is no extreme action to stop that from happening. The systems are in place. The government is effectively in on it. That's my opinion about it anyways. And from the things that you're saying, that's all that's needed is for people to not do something radically different than what's been happening so far. So when someone goes on Tucker Carlson, they share these things, it causes so many people to just go, oh, I don't know, I've heard another side of that story. And then they back off and they never pursue the truth. It just puts them on the fence and they stay there. What would you say if that person's watching this video? What would you say to them to help them? They're genuinely going, look, I've heard both sides. I don't know you, Judd. I don't know. You know, for all I know, you're in someone's pocket, or maybe he's in someone's pocket, and I'm just kind of on the fence now. What would you say to that person to help them out?
I would say, I have nothing to lose for doing what I'm doing. I have nothing to gain from what I'm doing, doing this. I've risked my life for many years going to Nigeria to help persecuted Christians, put my own neck on the line, put my own money and resources on the line to do everything I can do to help persecuted Christians in Nigeria. I'm not a mercenary for hire. I'm not a guy that can get bought off. I don't have sponsorships. I'm not selling anything. I can't be bought because I've put my entire life into helping persecuted Christians in Nigeria because that's what the Lord has called me to do. This is a ministry. This is a ministry that as Christians, we're supposed to take care of widows and orphans, and we're also supposed to help our persecuted brothers and sisters. I'm practicing Christianity 101. I'm not a mercenary for hire. Unlike Tucker Carlson, unlike Robert Amsterdam, and some of the other guys he has on his show. Guys, this all that stuff is pay to play. All of it is pay to play, and there's hundreds of thousands of dollars being thrown around to play these games, to get the platforms and to spread misinformation, to confuse people and honestly to spread evil. I don't know what happened to Tucker. I used to like a lot of things he stood for. But I can tell you this, in the last few months, Tucker has been promoting people and giving people a platform that are antithetical to Christianity, that are antithetical to what this country believes. And he's getting paid for it. He's getting paid to do that. He's getting paid to do the wrong thing, and Tucker's taking the money.
And one thing I could add to this is the issue is not, of course, that you would have someone like Amsterdam on your program. It's that you would allow him to go unchallenged. That's the issue. That's the issue, right? If this guy got brought on with you and me, and I moderated a discussion between you guys, that could actually be extremely helpful. But if we just let him be a mouthpiece for propaganda that's going to get people killed, have children beaten and kidnapped, and women, all the things you can think of, that like literally going to have that effect, literally going to have, like, he's literally throwing people to the wolves to be destroyed, to be abused, to be persecuted, to be murdered, throwing a country to Islamic terrorism, and throwing Africa as a continent towards it as well. Because like you've been saying, if Nigeria falls to Islam, if it becomes like Iran, if it becomes like an Islamic state, what's to stop that from happening across all of Africa? Because it is one of the centerpieces.
Because if Nigeria falls, so goes the rest of Africa.
Yeah. And what is happening in the rest of Africa right now? Can you give us some of that as well?
Okay. So what has happened is a destabilization of Northern Africa. Okay. So you have a lot of nations that are now Islamic military dictatorships that have taken over Northern Africa. Now, we used to have a base in Chad. We're no longer there. We used to have operations in Niger. We're no longer there. Islamic military dictatorships are taking over Northern Africa, and it's spreading its way south. It's spreading its way south, and people are being massacred. It's happening in Sudan. Sudan's back on fire again. What you're seeing happen in Nigeria is a total destabilization of Africa, which is their end goal, is to turn and Islamize all of Africa. Nigeria is the one that they have to take first, and then all the rest of Africa follows. And if something isn't done soon, if intervention isn't done soon, it's not going to be hundreds of thousands dead. It's going to be the millions that are going to be killed. Millions of Christians are going to get slaughtered. Because it only, once they get more and more and more control, it's over. Intervention has to happen now, and we need to do everything we can to save our persecuted brothers and sisters.
I agree. And this is the thing where I can sense a lot, maybe people in my own audience who might be thinking, hey, Mike, I just feel uncomfortable with this language because we're talking about like governments and militaries and that sort of thing. I think we should just preach the gospel and just let the Lord work it out. If that's you saying that, I just have a couple words for you to encourage you as my brother or sister in Christ and share with you a couple things. One of them would be that Christianity is not trying to, I don't believe that Christianity is supposed to be us like taking control of governments, like that's the agenda. Like I have a revolutionary, like let's arm all the Christians and overthrow the government and set up our own institution wherever we go. That's not the thing. But government is something that God uses according to scripture. It's God uses government to terrorize the wicked, to defend people, and to create peaceful environments. And that's important for us. We pray for all men that, you know, those in authority, that we may live peaceful and godly lives. That's what they're supposed to do on a Christian worldview. Now, me as a Christian advocating for governments to do that, that's a very Christian progressive yes. thing for me to do. Like I'm doing something that is honoring Christ to advocate for government to do the right thing. You know, Paul appealed to Caesar because he was going to be oppressed on a more local level. So he appealed to a higher governmental authority that itself was oppressing Israel at the same time, which, so yep, that's how politics is complicated. So yes, I would be absolutely appealing for people to take action, for governments to take action against Islamic terrorism and against the continual cancerous spread of militant Islamic terrorism, basically people who are following in Muhammad's footsteps, because if we don't, the cost in lives and gospel is really extreme, because when they oppress and silence and control and murder Christians, this is not going to spread the gospel more. We talked about this in our interview, Judd, how yeah. it's not going to, sometimes persecution results in the flourishing somehow in God's grace in the church. Typically, when Islamic states take power, that's not what happens because of the way in which they actually function, right? The way in North Korea, the church is not thriving, okay?
Correct.
Because of the way in which the government functions. So it doesn't thrive in that environment. It depends on the kind of government setup you've got, and Islam does not provide the kind of environment where persecution will increase anything.
Well, and that's correct. And I just challenge the viewers listening. Do you really love your neighbor? Do you really love your neighbor? Do you love your Christian brothers and sisters? Why would you have some glorification of martyrdom? You know, well, it's them far away. It's a glorification of martyrdom. You're not going to have that glorification of martyrdom when it comes to your doorstep. When it's your wife, your children being slaughtered, you know, your neighbors, your entire neighborhood being burned down to ashes, and your grandmother was set on fire. You won't have this romanticization of martyrdom. Mm-hmm. And the question is, do you really love your neighbor? A Christian should demand real justice. A government that rewards good and punishes evil. We should expect that all over the world. And we used to be a nation that stood up for that. We used to be a nation that stood up for, you know, stood up for good and wanted to punish evil. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just challenge you to really look deep in your faith and in your soul and say, is it okay for Christians and women and children to get slaughtered by radical Islamists with AK-47s? Or would you rather just lift your voice up, keep the persecuted brothers and sisters in your prayers, and take some action? It doesn't take much.
So let's talk about action. After our video, we powwowed on this, right? We were thinking like,
yes,
what can we do to make this video the most real world impactful video we can? Let's do this. And we came up with several ideas we put into the video. And among other things, there was the request to have many thousands, hopefully, of people immediately calling, messaging, emailing their representatives in U.S. government. The video comes out, and within 3 days, and I know there were already a lot of machinations in place. So this is not like it went from nothing to everything, but I think that we had an impact. But within 3 days, we see Trump comes out and he declares them a nation of particular concern. That was a major request we had. Then he comes out and he says, you know, Nigeria, if you don't clean this up, we're going to get in there and do it ourselves, which I think shocked all of us to hear him say that.
Wasn't expecting like, that one.
Yeah, I was not expecting that. I hadn't even had a grid for it, to be honest. But yeah, what impact do you think, not me and you had, what impact do you think the viewers of the video had that when they took action? Because I want to let the audience know how empowered they are in this.
We at Equipping the Persecuted have suffered the winger effect. I'm not, and I've suffered. We've been very blessed by the winger effect, and this cause has been blessed by this, by you, sir, for bringing attention to this. Immediately we saw this really explode within the government and the response to the government, and unfortunately, people coming to us from within the government asking us a lot of questions about what's really going on in Nigeria. And we've seen more senators, we've seen more congressmen jump on board because of this. So it has taken major effect. And then we've also had an increase in support. And just in the short term, what that has allowed us to do, because I just got back from Nigeria 2 weeks ago, because of your efforts and because of what you're able to do, we've been continuously able to feed and medically treat over 10,000 people in one shot.
Wow.
10,000 persecuted Christians have been fed and they've been treated with medicine. It helped us stock and fully open our medical clinic, where we have done over now, since over the last 2 weeks, we've been able to do over 400 needed surgeries of persecuted Christians that had all sorts of ailments that needed help. They've been bussed into our clinic and they've been getting surgeries nonstop since the opening because of you and your supporters coming out and supporting our mission. That's just in the short term.
Yeah.
That's well, just in the last 4 weeks.
All I did was raise awareness, and then it was the audience. It was the individuals, yes, watching these videos, who you guys contacted senators. You guys went to equippingthepersecuted.org. That's Saul's website, Judd Saul's website. And I would encourage you guys to check it out, equippingthepersecuted.org. They also have Truth Nigeria, which is like a news website about Nigeria stuff. Yeah. And this is why I trust Judd more than I would trust random accounts on Twitter or the guy that went on Tucker Carlson. Judd for years has been working on the ground, actually helping with people who've been stuck. Like if they even got away alive, if they even survived the attack, they can't go back home. They're living in like these makeshift homes that are out of like, oh, here's a trash bag I found. Here's some sticks, yeah, I found. Let me add that, put those together and lay on the ground. This is my new place to live. They suffer disease. They suffer starvation. They suffer injuries that are long lasting after an attack. And they've been on the ground helping these guys for years. But when we met in person, it was over at Jack Hibbs Church, and mm-hmm. you had a booth that was there. I didn't even know you would be there. It was kind of crazy. I was like, oh yeah, Equipping the Persecuted. I talked on this phone with Judd Saul the other day, and they, oh, he's right here. So we met, and there you are, like trying to find ways of getting basically support so that you can do the work that needs to be done in Nigeria. This was before our interview, and you were like trying to network with like a coffee bean thing where people could sort of, you know, this percentage of every purchase with the coffee thing. And maybe you guys still do that and they could check it out on your website or whatever.
Yeah.
But I was just looking at it going like, this is so lame that you guys are doing this for support. People just need to know. They just need to know, because you're here for hours and hours and hours just hoping to talk to random people to try to do something so that you can go back again and build another facility for people that have been dehomed, that have been chased out of their place, that you can network with individuals that need it, that you can continue to build your internal network to raise terror alerts because the government won't do it, and that you can, yeah, appeal to Congress and senators. But I know I was talking to you and I thought, like, it seems to me that Judd feels like hardly anybody's listening. And
that's,
we wanted to change that.
Well, and that's for 6 years, it felt like we've been talking against a brick wall, like just talking to a brick wall, and, you know, people weren't listening. I mean, I try to get on other podcasts and shows and try to do things to raise awareness about this. And people kept on telling me is no one cares about Christians in Africa.
They told you this?
They told me this to my face. They told me this to my face. No one cares about Christians in Africa. That's not a big thing right now. Right now, it's about Trump, Trump, MAGA, MAGA, Trump, Trump. And, you know, people in this sphere, they don't care about Nigeria. They don't care about persecuted Christians. And I'm like, well, I do. And I just kept on beating the drum. You know, what most people don't realize is when we started this mission, we were funding trips to Nigeria by doing bake sales. We're doing bake sales.
I believe it. It sounds like you're cutting out just a bit there, Judd. I don't know if it's you or me. Well, wait just a second. Let that come back. One of us is probably on screen. I wonder. Maybe I should check.
No, there we go. So, my back.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I see you now. Yeah. So yeah. This is something I wanted to share. Is yeah. You have been faithfully working on the ground, helping real people, doing the hard labor in basic obscurity, trying to raise awareness, and like you said, doing bake sales. Actually, doing bake sales just to fund a trip to go and assist people. At the same time, there are people who would respond to this video by going, "How much is Israel paying you guys to have this conversation?" And I was actually shocked at how many of people responded to me drawing awareness to Nigeria and the slaughter and persecution of Christians, and how this is going to destabilize a region and open the door for far, far more of the same thing and Islamic oppression. How when I shared this, their response was all about Israel. And I'm like, this has nothing to do with Israel. You're brainwashed. Like, you're brainwashed into this thing. Like, what happened to you that got you to ignore the slaughter of your brothers and sisters in Christ and the spread of an anti-Christ militant spreading, like going from country to country to country to country and continuing? How do you ignore all that because you're so conspiratorial about another country that's not even related to this? I don't understand.
I've had people message me telling me that it's the Nigerian special forces that are funding the Fulani radical Islamists to kill Christians in Nigeria. That's a strange conspiracy theory that's been sent my way. People have actually asked me if I'm being controlled by Israel to talk about this.
I've had people post about this online. And they go, "It's the thing is $7,000." They go, "Oh, Israel's paying you $7,000 per post to put stuff on Twitter," and I'm sitting there going, you're actually brainwashed.
Yeah, like they are.
Something has brainwashed you so that you don't understand. Like, you don't know what you're looking at. You see something and you interpret it through it's a cult-like brainwashing. You interpret it through your lens of this religious commitment you have to your political views against Israel. And I'm thinking, I haven't said a word about Israel.
No, this has nothing to do with
Israel. Could be the worst nation on the planet. It would change nothing about what I just said.
right. No, it has nothing to do with Israel. And I'm going to tell you that there's no Jews in northern Nigeria in synagogues organizing Fulani Muslims to go kill Christians. Doesn't exist. Has nothing to do with Israel. Israel has nothing to do in Nigeria. Has nothing to do with this in Nigeria. And these people are nuts. These people are nuts. And by the way, some of this propaganda and all this stuff coming out is coming from Islamic accounts, troll accounts that have been going all over Twitter, all over Facebook, going out there and trying to downplay anything that is negative against Islam. Mm-hmm. And as a byproduct, it's anything that they can take shots at Israel for and blame Israel. It is a total evil misinformation campaign being funded by Islamists, but we also have some idiots here in the United States that have bought into it. Doesn't make any sense to me.
This has been so cool. So just recently, like within the past like couple days, Twitter unleashed the capacity people have to check where your account is actually based from. So you can click on someone's account, and then you click, there's a little button somewhere on their page, and it shows you like, where is their account from and where are they posting from? It's the two questions they answer. And this has revealed, it just happened all of a sudden without much warning. It has revealed so many of these fake accounts, like guys who were like, "I'm an American. I just converted to Islam. And I just want to say Islam is peace and Islam is beautiful. Look, here's my family." And it's an AI picture. And then I click and I go, "Oh, I can finally check this account that I've long suspected was fake." And I'm like, "Where is he from?" "Oh, West Asia."
Yep.
So he's from a Muslim country, in other words. And you look at these things over and over again, and there's people pretending to be American citizens, or they're pretending to be other things, and they're just they're just either bot accounts or people with fake accounts, and there's countless of them. And I'm so glad you can, at least for now, until they find a workaround for it, you can check their locations and find out where they're actually from. This has been, I mean, accounts that are huge, accounts with like hundreds of thousands of subs. Turns out it was just some guy in Pakistan the whole time, and he was pretending that he was in another country, you know? Maybe he was saying he was Palestinian. Maybe he was saying he was in the U.S. Guys with like American flags, America first, you know, whatever. There's guys of all stripes that are just total fake accounts. And it's been really good to have that, because I want a button on social media that allows me to say, like, ignore bots. Click. And
no
anybody.
Kidding.
I mean, this is me, my fantasy land, because I know that this isn't probably going to happen. But if I had a button like that, I would click it so quick.
It'd make things a lot easier.
So let's talk about action steps. Are there any action steps? We haven't discussed ahead of time, but are there any things that people could do who are watching this right now to make a difference?
Still encourage people to support our organization at equippingthepersecuted.org. That's equippingthepersecuted.org. Partner with us. Like I said, you know, the more we have, the more we're able to impact, the more people we're willing to help. And we're seeing this play out right now over the last 4 weeks. It has been crazy and a blessing to see the impact that it's having and how many lives we're able to affect and touch on a much wider scale, on a much more frequent scale. And Mike, I'll be sending you some videos. You can post some stuff up later, just some highlights about what's been going on, so you can see it with your own eyes. And hopefully someday we can bring you to Nigeria. That's what I hope we can get to happen sometime. But equippingthepersecuted.org. And also, please don't let up on your politicians. The job is not over. And I'm going to tell you guys, there are enemies within our own government working against us. There are enemies within our own government that are working against us, including a couple of guys in the Trump administration that are working against our efforts. And we need you to be in prayer, but we also need you to be messaging the president, messaging your congressmen and your senators, and tell them to not let up on Nigeria until this is done. And if 500 Christians kidnapped in the last week isn't enough motivation, I don't know what will be. But the persecution is real, and something needs to be done now. So equippingthepersecuted.org, please continue to support us. We love partnering with you. Join our family. Love hearing from you. You know, share with us in your notes. You know, what motivated you to give to the mission? Where would you like some of your donations to go? Let us know. We're an open book, and we love to hear from you. But don't let up. Continue the pressure, please.
So, congress.gov is a website you can go to where you then scroll down, you input your location, and it will show you your senators. You can click and email them, even one sentence email. Don't stop helping the persecuted Christians in Nigeria. Don't believe the lies that this is not real persecution. The question I have for you right now, and it's up to you whether you want to answer it or not. I don't really know the dynamics of it, but you talk about specific evil people. Do you want to name them? Do you want to tell us more about them?
One of the guys, Massad Boulous, he's a guy that has come out and said that there's no genocide against Christians in Nigeria. And he is Trump's in-law. He's Tiffany Trump's father-in-law.
So we addressed him, and we actually showed a video of him.
Yeah.
Has anything changed since we did that video?
We haven't seen a tone change from him yet.
Do you know if since then, has he come out and like made another statement in some form or another that talks about Nigeria at all?
Nope. Hasn't made one statement. Hasn't come out and said one statement since. But we do know that there are forces within the Trump administration and even within our own State Department that are fighting us on this. Yeah. So we're praying that the bad people get removed and replaced with good people. There is a deep state. And believe me, I have seen the deep state. There is a deep state working against us. And they need to be sought out. They need to be removed from their positions. And we need
good
people.
Do you want
to
tell us more about that? Or is that something that's not appropriate?
I can't get into further detail. I wish I could, but I can't.
Yeah, I understand.
But I will say this.
I think that light disinfects. And I hope that truth comes out about these types of issues more. People need to know the details in order for them to deal with these things, you know, but at the same time, it can be challenging to be like, when can I say this and what can I say? And I don't know, there's questions that are difficult to answer and that a lot of people don't understand. Yeah.
We need a new ambassador to Nigeria. We need to get rid of Ambassador Mills. Ambassador Mills is not our friend. He's not, he really doesn't care about what's going on in Nigeria. And the like I said, the first picture Ambassador Mills had when Trump got elected, Ambassador Mills was meeting with the Mieti Ala, which is the cattle breeders association in Nigeria. Essentially, they're the terrorist planning center operations. And our ambassador took a picture with them and got a big smile, shaking hands. We're working together to, you know, help each other out. And Ambassador Mills is not our friend. Ambassador Mills needs to be replaced immediately. We need a new ambassador to Nigeria that has, I'd say, a Trump vision for Nigeria and maybe a caring vision for Nigeria.
How would that happen? Like, so is this where writing to your senator would, yeah, would encourage that? Like, hey, Ambassador Mills is not serving the interests of Nigeria or the U.S. He needs to be replaced. Would that be the kind of thing?
So what happens is Ambassador Mills is a career FSO, which is a foreign service officer. These guys are bureaucratic State Department people. They've been in the State Department for years, and they just go to one other country, work their notch on the belt. They're government bureaucratic employees. What we need in Nigeria is a Trump-appointed ambassador to Nigeria. Somebody that is a political appointee that is going to carry the Trump agenda to Nigeria.
Okay.
What we don't want is another career FSO, that got elevated during the Biden years. We need a political appointee to Nigeria. And if so be it, I volunteer myself to be the ambassador to Nigeria. If you want to nominate me, I'd be happy to do it. I don't know if I'd pass the test to be ambassador, but we need a good, strong leader, Christian, who's an ambassador to Nigeria.
Right. Wow. All right.
Well, I nominate Mike Winger for ambassador to Nigeria. I nominate Mike.
I don't know if I have the skill set for that, but anything would be better than the guy that's doing it now, it sounds like. And yes. you guys can go to congress.gov. You can message your senators and tell them to get rid of Mills and recommend exactly what you were suggesting, a strong Trump-appointed ambassador to Nigeria who is not just a Biden-style career politician, all that kind of stuff. Okay, so Judd, last question for you. Pastor Ezekiel. This guy obviously is under the scope of the Nigerian government. They're specifically pulled his stuff off the internet. You know, they shut down his social media. They're actively working to silence this man. This is because they think that he's being effective, right?
Yes.
So you talked to him not long ago. You said you just had a video call with him. And how is he doing?
Well, he's a tough cookie. He's more motivated than ever, and this isn't going to stop him. It's not going to slow him down, but he knows he's over the target. He knows where he's at, and he's not going to let up, and he's going to be relentless. And then I told him, I was like, well, you probably should move to X, do more on YouTube, forget Facebook stuff, because I don't think Elon's going to take his stuff down, but we need to be, once he has videos come out, I'm going to be sharing them wherever I can to get him out there. But he's encouraged, but he's also very, very, very scared. This guy is, he's not afraid to die, but he is now being very, very cautious. He's in hiding. Mm-hmm. He's in hiding. He'll find something. He'll find, like, you know, go help people at a mass burial, go be a blessing to the community, then go disappear into an unknown location. They are after him. And he's very well aware of it, but he's ready to die for his faith and to stand up for what's right and what's true. And we could all learn from Pastor Ezekiel.
Yeah. Yeah. That's bravery. We don't have many opportunities for bravery in our culture. And the ones we do have mostly have to do with speaking truth out loud. And we're not that good at it.
No, we could do a lot better.
Yeah. So thank you for that. And God bless Ezekiel. God bless all the people. Oh my gosh. There's so many people that are suffering right now. There's currently, as we speak, those kids are still kidnapped.
Yep.
Do you know if the government is pushing any sort of major operation to rescue them?
Nothing that we've seen yet. Nothing.
Okay. Hopefully something's in the works and something will happen soon. Great. I think most countries, it would be ours. They would marshal every single person they could instantaneously, and they would get on those trail, their trail, and they would make an example of the guys who did it. I think that's what would happen in, I'd say, most countries or any country that where the government's doing its job.
Yep.
That's it's crazy. So so thank you, Judd, for the update. We may do more updates and stuff in the future. So things are getting hotter, but one of the reasons it's doing that, it's ramping up and getting more difficult, is because of the urgency with which the terrorists who thought they had a longer plan, a longer time span to do what they're doing, and now they're ramping up because there's so much attention on it now. They're worried they're going to lose it, so they're getting more active. So that means that now is the time to militarize against them. Now is the time for the government to absolutely militarize against them, and take whatever other steps can be taken. So I hope that the Nigerian government has a complete flip. That can happen. It can happen. I'm sure there's probably some good actors that are in the government that could, that, you know, if they were just given the ability, they would do something. So hopefully that happens. Yeah. All right. Any final words for us, Judd?
I just want to say thank you, sir. And thank you to everyone who supported us and continues to support us. We couldn't do this without you. The impact you're having is immense. And I owe a big thank you to Mike and all of your supporters and those watching out there. Thanks for joining with us and continue to partner with us and keep the plight of the persecuted brothers and sisters in Nigeria in your prayers, please.
Amen. Amen. And thank you. I mean, I'm not super comfortable with all the thanks, but I'm grateful for you and the work you're doing, and especially for the people that are on the ground that are taking those risks. We can't really ultimately pat ourselves on the back that much, because whatever we're going through is so small, and whatever labors we're doing are so small compared to the woman who just ran, watching her husband being hacked apart while bot accounts on Twitter say there is no persecution in Nigeria, you know. So thank them for their courage and their constance and their ability to stay focused and faithful in Jesus Christ. And may God give them strength and wisdom and protection in Jesus' name. Amen.